This is the beginning of class 8.
Sanshi Bhurki Jushin Eto Jam Vira Vinshi Nyende Yampadi Dibhe Sanamki Jola Penshi Sanye Jupasho Sanye Jodan Sanki Jodanma Jamju Badu Dhani Kyasuchi Dahi Chunyen Kibbe Sanamki Yola Penshi Sanye
Before you start meditating, we finish. Second part?
Environment.
Environment. Moral environment, physical environment, mental environment. Third one?
Posture.
How to sit. We finished that. Fourth one?
The mental process.
Mental technique. What problems would come up, what corrections to take, and what the levels you went up to, the nine levels you went up to. So we finished all that. Now, interestingly enough, what to meditate about. Okay. All right. So we're going to cover today, we're going to start 3 weeks, or three nights of what to meditate about. Okay. To do that, you have to know that there's three kinds of meditation. These are donated by Margie, if you guys know. She found them. And you debate it with yourself. And that's called Qigong. It means analytical meditation. You have a problem with a certain point of Buddhism, or you're not sure about a certain point, and you put it in front of your mind, you put it in center stage, and you start to rip it apart. You start to think of all the reasons why or why not you can accept it or you can't accept it. And that's called Qigong. It's supposed to be that as a result of a Qigong, you can come to some conclusion. And then you do a Jogom on that conclusion.
You do what?
A Jogom. You fix on that conclusion. Like we had the five classical proofs for emptiness in the last course, you know? So this might be your process. You might do a shargom on those five. What's the first one? Emptiness of one and emptiness of many, right? And then you go through them like that. You go through the five and you keep going through the five. And you're just reviewing them. Then you do qigong. You say, why is it true that if something is empty, it must be either one thing which is empty or many things which are empty? And you debate that in your mind until you come to some conclusion, like maybe you see emptiness intellectually, and then you fix your mind on that conclusion. So that's a process that you can do. You do shargom, if you're just going through the outline of a thing, you might choose to stop on one of the parts of the outline and do qigong. Okay, how do you prove that? How do you prove there's a past life? And you stop, and you start to try to prove it to yourself. And when you get to some conclusion, you fix your mind on that. That's called jogong.
Yeah. Isn't jogong kind of dangerous then? I mean, what if you come to the wrong conclusion?
There's a very interesting thing, and I'll tell you. It's very, very easy. I'm not allowed to do to Dharmakirti, because he already knows that. That's what you mean. I don't mean he accepts the conclusion, Dharmakirti, because he already knows that. That's what you mean. I don't mean he accepts the conclusion. I mean he accepts all the facts I give, which force him to draw that conclusion. So I say in my case, I say, take the sky. It is not green because it's blue. And you don't have to write this down. I'm just giving you an example. He doesn't believe the sky is not green. That's why I'm trying to convince him. Sky is not green because it's blue. Okay? But he must accept that the sky is blue. And he must accept that if something is blue, it can't be green. And so he's forced to accept that the sky is not green. But he hasn't seen it yet. In other words, he has all the information in his own mind. He just didn't draw the right conclusion yet. He knows the sky is blue. He knows if something is blue, it can't be. Take the world, it was not made by compassionate being because there is suffering.
And I'll play the devil's advocate.
The world, take the world, it was not made by compassionate being because there is suffering.
And I'll play the devil's advocate and say, everybody knows God's compassionate. What are you talking about?
No, but I'll say, I repeat it. In the world, it was not made by a compassionate being because it has suffering. It's full of suffering. Now, don't say anything yet. Does he accept that the world is full of suffering?
Yes.
Does he accept that if the world is made of suffering, the person who made it could not have been compassionate?
Not at all. No.
Well, that we have to debate. Then I can't use that for that Christian. No, I can't. I can't use that argument.
Why don't you say it was made by suffering?
If you want to know the answer, come to the next course. We're going to do it in the next course. So these are automatically you understand then the different objects for meditation. You can do 100, 200, 300, 400. I'm picking the shortest Lam Rim in history, okay? I'm picking a Lam Rim, okay? And I'll write it for you.
So are you saying it's equal then, or you pick an object and you do it as types of Lam Rim?
Yep. Talking practically, in case you die this week or something. Two different items, okay? Okay, Lam Rim. I say Lam Rim.
Lam Rim.
Lam Rim.
Lam Rim.
Tibetan R's are rolled like ruffles. They're not with your teeth out here like Rim. Okay? Rim.
Rim.
Rim. Rim. Rim. I can't do it very well. Okay? Lam means path. Rim means steps. And you see lots of different translations. Graduated path. Stages of the path, graduated stages of the path, graduated, you know, there's millions of translations. It just means the steps that you must go through to reach Buddhahood and Nirvana. These are absolutely necessary steps. If one of them is left out, you won't make it. Okay? And that's what disqualifies most of the spiritual paths that are being sold today, I believe. I would say that. But you can draw your own conclusions. You can do your qigong. You know. What's good is if you do it, if you try it and you really do it correctly, it should give you some results after a while, a month, 2 months, 2 months. You should see some change in yourself and in your happiness level. And if you don't, then it's a stupid path and give it up and do something else.
What about if your karma is not?
Even if you've got lousy, lousy, lousy karma, okay, I would say if you sincerely practice them correctly, and I emphasize correctly, as it's taught, and you don't mix it up with something else, if you're not noticing some change in your basic level of contentment, and happiness meaning knowledgeable happiness, I could study with the Dalai Lama directly, for example, for a long period of time. He has to be some kind of incredible person himself. Right? Okay, so that's Lam Rim. After the Buddha taught, there were many great texts, there were many great commentaries, this whole Indian period. And then later, Atisha, who lived in the 1000 AD, he wrote a Lam Rim called Light of the Paths. You don't have to, I'm not going to ask you that, okay. And then people wrote Lam Rims, and the most famous one is the Lam Rim Chenmo. Chenmo means big, and that was written by Tsongkhapa, Jet Tsongkhapa. It's 1,000 pages long. It's probably the most famous book in Tibet.
Chenmo,
C-H-E-N. I'll write it over here. What steps of the path means, I don't know about stages. Stages would sort of mean to me like points that you reach. But that's not what Lam Rim means. Lam Rim means the steps you must take to get to that goal. Okay, so I prefer the word steps. Steps in a method. Okay, and each one is an attitude that you have to develop. Okay? It's a mental step. It's an inner attitude that you must develop. And that's what Lam Rim means. Do you want to turn on the water for tea?
I'm afraid to.
Too hot?
He's too close to
it. No, I think there's a little mouse running around in here. I keep hearing him squeaking and I don't want to burn him up or anything.
He's behind.
Huh? He's behind? It's okay?
I think it's alright.
He's been around.
He's been around for a while.
He's very close to all this food. And he can't get through.
He's probably under the sink. She stays on the sink. What's that?
This is just for them. You don't have to know this. I'm just, some people ask for this. That's the full form. Sorry. Most Tibetan loves to shorten things. Tibetan is very economic language. They like to shorten Lamgirimba. Lamgirimba becomes Lamrim. Steps of the path.
Is Ghi the possessor?
Yeah. So we're going to study the Lamrim. We're going to study. It's called, by the way, not just study, but what?
Meditation.
Use as the object of our meditation for, say, the next 6 months, okay? Every morning. Burn it into your head. If you see something you can't accept, stop and do a Chegong on it. It's called Yunden Shir Gyuma. Yunden means a good quality. Like compassion, or understanding of emptiness, or disgust with this life. Those are all yundens. Those are yundens. If you could have those three, you'd be what we would call a talented person, or, you know,
what are those gifts?
Let's say understanding emptiness, compassion, and disgust with this life. And we said it before, it's not like you have to have this suddenly you want to go stay in a cave, okay? It's just the normal vicissitudes of life. It's just the crappiness of this life that just keeps coming up over and over and over again. That we try to ignore or else we get depressed about, you know? It's just, it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm going to die in 70 years or something like that. It's this whole, every day is crappy. And it doesn't mean you always fight with people at work or stuff like that. But the work is crappy. Where can you get? You can go up to the vice president and you die. Or somebody stabs you in your back and you lose a position. Or things change and the company's out of business. Or, you know, there's no happy ending. There cannot be a happy ending. And that's just crappy. And your body's getting older and older. And you feel your energy getting worse.
Yeah.
There's no happy ending. There's no other conclusion. There's no place else to go. And that's the same with everything.
Are you happy that you got fired?
No, and then comes a day when your unemployment is out and you gotta go back. You can try to turn bad situations into thinking nice about them, but basically the whole thing is it's past car accidents or cancer or AIDS. It's the life is crappy. Every day is lousy.
There's an impossible scenario, which is you go through life and you do your dharma and it all works out well in the end.
It will. Yeah.
After about 16
you can't change it.
Eons and eons.
No, you can't change the moment this life. That's the whole point. You can cause the reality to change, and you better, because you don't have any other choice.
So, Michael, what happens then? The even though everything is still crappy, it doesn't bother you anymore?
Not like that.
No?
No, remember, you're not supposed to aspire to neutrality.
No, not like that. Yeah. Okay, so yunnan means a good quality, and I'm saying that you know, a mild distaste with this life is intelligent, and that's a good quality. Shir kirma, Shir is a difficult word to translate. Shir means the basis. I've translated it as source, which is one of its meanings. Gyur means he who is, the one who is. So that, so far, means the one who is the source of all my good qualities. Where do I learn these good qualities? Okay. Ma is a feminine ending, and it's used for great books, maybe because of the connection with wisdom. For what's the greatest Lamrim ever written?
Prajnaparami.
Chen Mo, and Mo is feminine ending. So Gyurma is the feminine ending. So the Lam Rim we're going to study, the Lam Rim you're going to use for your meditation, the Lam Rim which only takes 3.5 pages on a piece of paper, and you have it. That's what I handed out. Is your niche, your Gyurma. Okay. Yeah, Om. There is a sutra called Om, and the whole sutra is Om. I don't remember. Okay, I'll do the first. I'll tell you who the author is, and then we'll have our break.
How would you say that whole sentence again? How would you describe it?
This title of our Lama, yes. The source of all my good qualities, the source of all my good. Okay. It refers to, we'll talk about it. Where does all your good qualities come from?
You're saying the Lam Rim is the source of all the good qualities?
No, the name of the Lam Rim that we're going to study, the name of the book on the path to Buddhahood which we are going to study, is called He Who Is the Source of All My Good Qualities.
So the title is only Yantan Shri, not Lam Rim.
No, you could put a Lam Rim here and it would be perfectly acceptable. They would say the Lam Rim called... And it's you can call it that. You can say Lam Rim Yin Nishin Gyurma. That's fine.
Is it good qualities or just good?
I translated it as good, but it means good qualities. I'm not sure you can have a good quality that's not good enough. Here's the author of the Lam Rim we're going to study. Tsongkha means onion county, and it was a place where he came from. And Tsongkhapa means the person from Onion County, and Jay means Lord Tsongkhapa. You don't call a high lama, hey, Bosan. You call him Jay Tsongkhapa. Jay means Lord. So it's kind of funny to see people split it into Tong Kappa. It's like, man, happen. it means the one from Manhattan. It's like Manhattanite. Okay. New Yorker. It's like New Yorker. Okay. Anyway, that's the person's name. Where did he teach that? This is an Asur, which is rarely seen in Tibetan. I'll teach it to you in April. We're going to have a little alphabet class. Okay.
In the English class? We're going to have an alphabet?
No, we're going to... After these courses are finished this time, in April, we'll have a little alphabet class, if anyone's interested in that. Some of the people who joined the Tibetan class didn't have enough alphabet from their last... whoever was their last teacher, so we're going to do it over again for them. So if you want to start Tibetan, you can... Or if you just want to come and get abused for Tibetan, you're welcome to come. I'm not sure yet what night. We'll talk about it. Okay, say Radeng.
Radeng
is a very holy monastery. It's north of Lhasa. It's about 100 kilometers. I believe it was found. I'm pretty sure it was founded by Dongten Jay, who was the main disciple of Adi Jai. You don't have to know that. Dongten, which means that it was founded around 1000 AD. He was the great disciple of Atisha, and he never became a monk. He was a layman with layman's vows, and he's very famous. So he's one of the greatest lamas in Tibetan history, and he helped found this monastery.
Is he still there?
I understand it, it's pretty badly damaged, but I don't know if... I believe you can still visit it. Do you know?
I don't know.
And he taught, Jetson Kappa taught this Lam Rim there. Now, he would have taught it around 1400. I don't know the exact year, but if I asked you, you could say 1400. Yeah, around 1400 he taught it. We could figure out the exact date. We're working on his biography, not from his death. That's where he taught it.
Michael, he was the source of all my good qualities.
That's he or she.
Oh, she, okay.
Well, Kishir Lama is a woman.
That's why the Lam Rim Chen Mo?
No, he wrote the Lamrim Chamrim.
Right.
He wrote a lot of other Lamrims. And he realized that the Lamrim Chamrim was too long. the long Lamrim was too long. So he wrote a middle Lamrim. That's about, I don't know, 120 pages. Then he wrote a short Lamrim. That's about 20 pages. Then he wrote Yundin Shin Gimbo, which is 3 pages. Then he wrote Lam Tsa Nam Sum, Three Principal Paths, which is 14 verses. So this is really the shortest full-fledged Lamrim.
So we don't have to memorize this, do we?
You should memorize
this whole time.
You should memorize.
Get a minute to that.
Yeah. If and when you get a tantric initiation, you're going to have to recite it quite frequently. So you might as well memorize it. You're asked to memorize it in your assignment. The thing about being a Buddhist is have all this information in your brain, because if you die, if you get an accident, if you're in the hospital, it's all available in your mind. Very important. It's not good to depend on a book. You know, it's better if it's all in your mind. It's much better. We're not used to it. Let me see what's on your homework. Great books of original Buddhism. These were the books that came out of early India. These are the books that all Buddhism came out of. It didn't reach every country. Not every book reached every country. Okay. These last two books, by the way, this is the order that we studied them in the monastery in 18 years, of course. And the first three, the first two are Mahayana, as is the last one. And these two are Hinayana. So Vinaya and Abhidhamma reached to Thailand, for example. And they have 40 volumes of their canon, and they have these two subjects. Do Tibetan Buddhism reject them? No. The monks' vows are straight Hinayana. And I spent 10 years studying Abhidharma.
To me, I feel like it's quite the same.
I think the more you study, if you study for a long time, they are all beautiful. They join together very, very nicely. In fact, Tsongkhapa said, if you understand the scriptures well, you don't see any contradiction between them at all.
That was how I feel.
And he said, if you do, then you haven't studied enough. Yeah.
He just asked me, what's the difference? Because I'm from Thailand, and why I'm here. And I say that it's like in my country, some of the Buddhists, whatever you teach us here, somehow it's brand in the culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met many taxi drivers. And remember meeting a taxi driver in Thailand? He's telling me about Vipassana. You know, yeah, they all know a lot.
It's just like something that you born and you learn the way it is. But they didn't say this is Buddhist. Mm-hmm. It's just the way of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, these are the five great books. If you study these five books, you have studied all the schools, and each school is divided up here. I'm not going to go through the whole thing here. There are four great schools of Indian Buddhism. We study all of them. And if you finish these five books, you have studied all of the great schools of Indian Buddhism, which is Buddhism. And they all relate to the Buddhist sutras. All of these came from the sutras, and you can find the places in the sutras. These are all open teachings, not secret. Then there are the secret teachings. Okay?
Michael, you said when you quoted Tsongkhapa, that's talking about scripture.
And the concepts as well.
But did he read Pali scriptures?
No.
Well, then how can you say that?
No.
He would accept Hinayana.
No, I would say that the Abhidharma teachings and the Vinaya teachings would cover the subjects of Pali Buddhism.
I guess I was thinking too, since Hinayana Buddhists reject...
The Thai canon comes from the Pali canon.
Right, I know that.
I was just thinking,
how could you say that they...
They're not contradictory. Once you've
so it's not that they're not contradictory, that one includes things that the other doesn't.
Of course, yeah.
So you can't... I mean, Hinayana Buddhist doesn't accept what a Mahayana Buddha.
Well, I would say more that he hasn't learned it or he hasn't been exposed to it. You see what I mean? I'm not. What I'm saying is that if you took a person, what do you call a Hinayana Buddha? Say a person from a Hinayana country, and you say, come in a room and let's talk about the concepts of Mahayana, I don't think you'd have any problem. Abhidharma Kosha, which is the ultimate Hinayana text, has roots of all of the things we ever study, and I can show them to you. I memorized most of it, and it's fine. And it's quite—it's a lack of study and a lack of knowledge, and it's some early people writing in English who had a misconception. So all the points of Buddhism, the Lamrim does. The Lamrim covers the entire, all the way from the beginning up to, including secret teachings. The Lamrim covers all of it.
What I know is in Thailand, the monk doesn't debate. They don't debate, and I don't know about secret at all.
Good.
Maybe I know already, but I don't know that it's your secret.
No, really good. But what I'm saying is, you won't find. You can study in the monastery for 18 years, and you can study. We spend 12 years on the first book. We spent 4 years on the second book. We do this all during our study for a few months a year. We do 2 years on this one and 2 years on this one. And there is no one book that contains the Lamrim. The Lamrim contains all of this.
Is there overlap between these books?
Yeah, there is some overlap.
The Lamrim? You mean the Lamrim Chenmo?
Meaning the Lamrim tradition. Any Lamrim, from Yundin to Jirma up to the Lamrim Chenmo, from 3 pages up to 1,000 pages. Sakya maybe was Rindala. That was Tsongkhapa's, one of his main lamas. So I think once you get up to a certain level of understanding, they're all appreciating each other quite deeply. You know, I haven't studied the Lamdre teachings of the Sakyas, and I haven't studied the Dzogchen teachings of the Lamas. I can't say. I can tell you what the Lamrim says. Okay, yeah.
When you say the word secret, that's secret from whom? From non-Buddhists, non-monks? Is it secret to the individual?
Secret to anyone who hasn't received permission to study more and hasn't received an initiation that allows him to study more.
That's what tantra means?
If you come across them and you haven't gotten the permission.
They say your head cracks open. I'll tell you what happens. At the worst, it's boring and you don't read it very long. At a medium, you try something inside it, not knowing what you're doing, and you go to hell. To this Lamrim. These are the four great divisions of this Lamrim, of this 3.5-page Lamrim. You got 8 pages because I put English into them.
Only this Lamrim or all Lamrim?
This particular Lamrim is divided into these. Actually, all of them are basically, the first two are the normal great division of any Lamrim.
What are they again, the four great?
The four big chapters, the four big parts that we're going to study. All Lamrims are divided into the first two. They give equal weight to two things. What are they, the first two? Finding a teacher, the right teacher, and how to behave with him. And then all your other practice. Those are the two great divisions of any Lamrim. Finding a teacher and how to behave towards him. How to live with him. And then secondly, and this verb is very difficult, the word I call taking a Lama. You can call relying on a Lama, you can call behavior with your Lama. There's many ways to translate. It's very difficult. It's the verb for what you do with a medicine when you get sick. It's the verb for what you do with a shovel when you're digging. You use it, or you take yourself to that instrument to accomplish the goal you want to reach. It's a very difficult word to translate.
So the first one is taking, being with a Lama?
It's your lifetime relationship with this Lama, really. How do you find him? What should he be like? How should you behave after you've decided? All those things. Who is he?
And the one is.
Once you found him, now how to practice. Okay. What to do. Okay, this one has. You alright?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry it's late and it's hot and You went to work today, and so did I. I'll try to finish this. You're doing good. How much time is it? Okay, we'll finish in 4 minutes. Now we're almost there. We're almost pretty close. Okay. This is going to have, let's say it'll have A.
B. Is all part one? Division one?
Yeah, division one is going to have 2 parts. The four I'm talking about.
Four?
Yeah. If it says what are the 4 steps to the to taking a lama, finding a lama, serving a lama, then there are these 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
So how do you develop it? How does that work?
We'll talk about it. First, I'm going to give you a list of what makes a teacher qualified. We went through this,
The 10 qualities?
We went through 10 before. I'm going to give you a different list just for variety. I'll read the 10 to you. You don't have to write them, okay? We had this in the first course. These are from the tenure. These are the classical qualities that a good lama should have. A person that you trust to fool around with your spirit and mind, okay? That's a grave responsibility, right? The person is, you're allowing that person to, you're exposing your mind to this influence, and your mind is not a solid thing. Your mind is a plastic thing. Whatever he says or does can affect your mind. So you have to be careful who you expose it to. He should have the following qualities, which are written by Maitreya. Okay? Pretty decent source.
This is the 10 we don't have to write down?
You do not have to write this down. If you don't want to know what he should have. We had these 10 before. All the people who were in the last course had these 10. He should be Dulwa. Dulwa means... he should be practicing his morality. Okay. 10 moralities. No killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, slander, harsh words, idle gossip, no craving, ill will, or wrongdoing. Shouldn't have those. Okay. Should be Shiva. Shiva means he should have mastered concentration, meditation. Nero Shiva, he should have mastered wisdom. He should understand emptiness well. Or perceived it directly.
Now what should we remember that?
Yeah.
Still number 2?
We're on 4 now. Those are the first 3. Basically the first 3 trainings. The 3 trainings. Morality, concentration, and wisdom. Loma le yunden hakpa. He should have qualities that are... He should be further along than the students he's trying to teach. Tsundur chembo dangdenba. He should... be willing to make great efforts on behalf of his students. Okay. He should be willing to work hard for his students. Nungi yinden kuntun sopangawa. He should understand the scriptures perfectly. Dekora ni topa. He should have perceived emptiness.
Said that already. So the
yeah,
first
you
one was intellectual then?
Yeah, remember
received
that?
Received emptiness or understand.
Yeah, we talked about that.
They're together and they must realize.
Scripture completely?
No, it was the third, you're talking about the third training, which is wisdom.
Wisdom
can be also towards other subjects. You can have wisdom towards dependent origination, things like that.
Should understand scriptures completely?
It says Punsum Tsopa. You know Punsum. It's that monk. It means, you know, total.
He's just got this qualification, or at least that he doesn't have to have perceived emptiness.
Book 11. This book says perceived emptiness. Now, directly, it doesn't say.
You can't question somebody about that, so you have to go like this.
I would say listen to his descriptions of emptiness, and if they are totally internally consistent, A. B, if they are consistent with what you've understood or heard about emptiness. You know? B. C, if it leads you to some perception of emptiness. That's pretty good. You know, then you can say you probably understand. You've probably seen emptiness. Okay. C, Chumawa La Kepa, he should be a skillful teacher, good teacher. Vamala Tsewa Chembo Yeba, he should love his students, he should have some concern for his students. Chujitam Chekyan Longyam Yeba, he shouldn't get tired no matter how many times he has to teach something. No, inexhaustible. Doesn't get tired of teaching. Tanda Nime Dusu Detam Je Tsawan Yekana, and those three training. He somehow got control over his being with those three training. Morality, meditation or concentration, and wisdom. So how many we got? We got three, okay. Those are the first three. The first three are the same, right? The first three are the same. Then number four is this Deni Topa, this perceived emptiness. Remember, it does not have to be directly. It could be intellectually. He doesn't say the word directly. When he say he's perceived emptiness, it could have been, there is no substitute for a teacher who has perceived emptiness directly. He has seen truths that no one else can see. But if you can't find one, it's okay if he's just understands intellectually all the books about emptiness.
So, excuse me, what is number three then?
Yeah.
The training of wisdom. You have to know. Now I'm going to give you another five, because it's hard to find anyone who has the first five.
So this is, we have to know the bare...
Bare minimum. Matayan.
So I would say 5 equals 10 to get back to where you
are. Yeah. As far as memorizing for your quiz, right.
So this is something else.
Trick. He doesn't say that. It could be Pabong.
Who doesn't say that?
It doesn't.
This is all from Pabongka's commentary, so it could be Pabongka.
Yeah, it's with Tibetan, you don't have quotation marks, so you're not quite sure where it's ending. It feels to me like Pabongka's talking again. But I'm not sure. Could be some kappa. We can look it up in the computer. Matayang, at the very, very, very least. Okay? And I like this. I like the one he says next. Chodan jikten nile, chotsor chepa. In the great division between worldly activities and Dharma activities, he is mainly working in Dharma.
51% at least.
Yeah. Of his life. Of his mental life.
Being of his mind. Yeah.
It appears to be.
Between this life and the future life, he's working mainly for the future life.
Is this number two or this one?
Number two. This is number two. In the division between this life and future life, he's devoted himself to the future life. He's working mainly for his future life. He's worried more about his death and his future life than about this life. By the way, that doesn't mean you just ignore this life. It doesn't mean that. This life in Tibetan has a connotation of worldly life. Okay? You should know that. All right. Between watching out for himself and watching out for others, he mainly watches out for others. Mainly worried about taking care of others rather than himself. Or herself.
I don't quite follow the second point that you're saying. So you're saying it doesn't refer to the external in terms of him working towards future life versus this life. You're saying he is working towards this.
What I'm saying is his mind is focused on his future life.
Even though
but it doesn't mean he goes up to see some suffering in this life and says, I don't need to help you, I'm focused on my life. It's not like that. Or he just gives up everything and goes sit in a cave and try to collect some good for his future life. It's sentient beings. It's the beings around you that you need to make any progress. Without people around you, you can't make much progress.
Could you repeat the last one?
The last one was, if he has a choice between taking care of himself or taking care of others, he mainly takes care of others. He takes care of others first. Gosung Bagmed Mikawa. He is not careless in his physical, verbal, or mental actions. Maybe they're more difficult than the ones
above. What was that again?
He's not careless in his physical, verbal, or mental... What did I say?
Actions.
Actions. He thinks before he talks. He thinks before he thinks. He thinks before he does anything. He's very careful about not to do anything wrong in those three.
What are the three things? Physical, mental?
And physical, verbal, and mental. Body, speech, and mind.
Actions.
Actions, yeah.
Thank you.
He doesn't teach his students a wrong path. Number five.
Are those quiz type questions?
Could be.
Last
thing I'll say, and then we'll quit. And we'll have to talk about this a little bit more next week, but next class. But the main thing is, all throughout this text, if you read the English, it's saying, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. What does it mean in Tibetan? Chin lup. What does it mean? If someone asks you on the homework. No, you're supposed to sit there and go, bless me, bless me, bless me, please bless me. What does it mean, bless you? Change your Dharma aptitude. Change my ability to practice Dharma. Please change my ability to practice Dharma. That's what blessing means.
Michael, is that through providing the condition for learning by being there to teach somebody?
Partly. But what it's saying is, you know, you go into a Dharma teaching and half the people fall asleep and half the people are kind of interested, and maybe two or three people in the Madhyamika, it says you get goosebumps. When you hear somebody say, there's a beautiful quote in this one today, he says, what does it say? It said, the sun doesn't feel like it's his painful obligation to shine on the world and starts doing something differently the next day. That's a jinla. And that's a difference in your sensitivity to Dharma. You know, to having someone say something, and then you go home immediately and you start, it affects you that you start to change. You start to actually change. And you start to actually do all those resolutions that you made but haven't. You know, what's the opposite? We know that state very well. It's continue to have the same problems you had last year and continue to get as irritated as you did last year and continue to be as jealous of people as you were last year. And I have that. I read my confessions from 5 years ago. I found a letter to my mother before she died. I never mailed it because she died. It was unopened. I opened it up. It's from Dhamsala. And I had the same problems then as 20 years ago. You know, so, Jinlap means don't make me like that, you know. Let me at least find some ability to chew. The monkey is that troa. It's any distraction of the mind. Remember, there were three. Virtuous objects, pleasant objects. No, I'm not. Did I give you the right thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And the fact that he's black represents what? The monkey.
Agitation.
This is mental state number two. He's reached. Each curve represents a different one of the nine. The monk here has reached Gyundajopa, the ability to put his mind on the object for a macaroni. Okay. And here the elephant, his head has started to change white. That means... the increasing of his selcha and necha, of his fixation and his clarity. It's starting to get clear. These five symbols, the mirror represents form, beautiful shapes and colors. The symbols represent music.
Give me the rest one.
We all have chingwa.
Sashi Bhurti Jushimeta Jam Rira Vinci Nyende Yampadi Sange Shindu Mitte Uwagi Jogur Nandai. Yeah.